Thank you, Brother Gordon. I want to thank all those who offered specials this evening. Each of you that joined together to offer up your songs. I'm envious. I can't sing. And my brother Chris Moran was talking about all the things that he wonders about in the world to come. And he was honest about it. He said, I just don't know. But I'd like to be able to learn how to sing in heaven. My mother could not carry a tune. Couldn't even hum. Now, Dad, he could sing. I took after my mom. Steve does okay. But it's not one of the things that I can do. This is the last service for the conference. We've cleaned house on the conference. We're in the middle of the ministers' conference and discussing in detail, minute detail, arriving at a consensus of opinion and petitioning the Lord. As you look forward to this coming year, what is your desire? The title I'd like to offer is Faithful in Every Season. But how do you attain to that? I'd like to begin by reading from Philippians, the first chapter, verse 6. Philippians 1, verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. That's something to hope in. To take stock of, to build towards, to measure your service and each other's as a body of Christ moving forward, because Christ has begun a good work spiritually once again in this world. Physically, we're here today in the Church of Christ, looking forward to what the Lord holds in stock for you, for I, for us as a body. And the Lord, if he's going to perform that good work until the day that Christ comes back, it's going to take some cooperation on our part. Alma 9, verses 18 and 19. Alma 9, 18, 19 says in part, in order to do that, your heart has to be open to receive the Word of God. Open even when you think you know what it means. Open to being corrected by God. 1 Nephi 3:30 says that this is unfolded by the power of the Holy Ghost. 1 Nephi 3:30. And if you think about that open heart, unfolding by the power of the Holy Ghost, isn't that a broken heart and a contrite spirit? And isn't that what the Lord Jesus Christ asked of each of us, not just on special get-togethers like Sacrament Sunday, but each day of our life? The Apostle Paul's words in Philippians 1, 6 remind us that our spiritual life and growth. Comment was made upon the young men upon the first, second pew. On my right, your left. and the future they hold within the Church of Christ as they position themselves and allow Christ to work with them. And not just the young men, the young women. I look out there and I marvel what God holds in store, in reserve, if you will, to get us through. It's a spiritual life and growth, but it's not our own. It's a divine work. We can study, we can plan, we think we're in control, and I like to be, and especially my brother, likes to be in control. I like to know what's going to happen because I can be prepared to bounce back from it. But there's a good work that God has started amongst us, and he did amongst the Philippians. And Paul had the confidence to believe that God would see it through to completion. And Paul wrote about that when he was in prison. He didn't know if he would get out, when he would get out, what he would be subjected to, if he'd be the same man or not. But the work that he had started, serving Jesus Christ, he trusted that another would complete. Now, I look at myself, 78. I don't know how many years I have left. None of us do. But this work that we've entered into, God is going to see through to conclusion when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. So this assurance is ours today as it belonged to Paul back in his day, that God is in control. And I like that. Do you notice the way that Gordon set up here? He said military background. He got a lot more time in the service than I did. I only had 3 years, 2 months, 21 days. But he sat on the right. Now, he's got different responsibility than I. Some would argue, well, mine is greater than he, but that's not so. He's in charge of the service. And as in the military, he sits on the right. You know who's in charge. That's a pet peeve of mine. Tithes. I don't like them either. But I kind of miss the days when men wore ties. Not a badge of honor. It was a respect. You weren't dressed until you had a tie and looked the part. And I'm not saying it's wrong not to wear a tie, but it's something we need to look at. People want to know, who's your pastor? Who's in charge? They see a guy with a tie, and he's not doing that for no reason at all. What I want to cover today are three things. Number one, God's faithfulness in this past year. Looking back at what he has accomplished in our past year, as we are in the present, looking forward to starting a brand new year. And we know that Christ is coming in the future. We need to bring it all together. God is faithful and has been in the past year. Number two, a renewed commitment to the work of the gospel. What we've been able to accomplish. Not that we're special, but if you think about it, God uses us wisely for his purpose if we allow. Number three, vision for the next year, or goals that we should look to. I need goals to work towards, or I can be a very lazy person. You can ask Pat. I need motivation. She's my motivator at times. So, number one, God's faithfulness in the past year. In Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 and 23, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. This is God's work that he called those of old into to complete the work. And it says right there that his compassions do not fail. A lot of people look at what God did in the past and they say, there is no God. There was violence back then. Well, they called it as they saw it. And yes, there was violence, but it was for a reason. The Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. I can mess up really bad. But if I have a repentant heart and seek God's forgiveness, his direction, and make myself available, we are renewed every morning as the sun rising produces a brand new day, a new start for you and I and the work of the gospel. Great is thy faithfulness. The prophet uses his own life experience and encouraged Israel to recognize their sins. We have to look at our sins and be able to recognize them and exercise repentance and seek forgiveness to be restored to God once again. We have a document, Sin and Forgiveness, and we used it in the Philippines. I'm not going to say heavy, but more than I like to, because we had to establish that straight and narrow path once again. If you can't bring them back with labor, with hope, with love, and reaching out to them, you reach a point where you have to protect the flock, those that remain faithful. So during this time of Lamentations, they were surrounded by war, grief, suffering, God's strength seeming to be withheld from them for a while, the accessibility they longed for, the compassion that they needed, the mercy. But they had to come back and repent to God to find it once again. Because God has moved not an inch. Who was it? Adam talked about forward progress. Our bodies are made physically for ascending, and it's easy to descend. But that's wasted time, energy. And if you repent, you've got to make up what you surrendered to your weakness. They are made new every morning in us, a fresh opportunity to a repentant heart. Turn to 1 Nephi 5. First Nephi chapter 5, verse 54. Part of a story about Nephi and his family. And in their journey, they drifted from God. Not Nephi. He held fast. But those around, even those he drew strength from, being instructed as a child growing up, they began to falter. And after that, they were chastened by the voice of the Lord. They did turn away their anger and did repent of their sins, insomuch that the Lord did bless us again with food, that we did not perish. He took care of their immediate need. He responded because they sought him. Jumping down to 197. Did they gain momentum? Did they continue to ascend? Chapter 5, verse 197. And after that, we had been driven back upon the waters for the space of 4 days. My brethren began to see that the judgments of God were upon them, and that they must perish, save that they should repent of their iniquities. God brought them up short, held their attention, and they began to focus on why they were making this journey. They had no idea where they were going, how soon they would get there. And they had a dependence on God every morning of that journey to make it. God's steadfast love and mercies. The scriptures speak to you and I, those that seek to draw close to God, of his faithfulness, even when we have chosen to be adrift. I hope that's not you. But as I look back in my life, I've made some mistakes I regretted. Lost momentum, and had to come back before God in the right vein with the right heart. Physically and spiritually, as we look, not just in the United States, but wherever this seed has been planted, not because we directed to do it, but because God sent us, opened up the path. And we've experienced trials, personal struggles, church challenges, pressures from society, and trials that come from within the church itself and without, which is the hardest one to deal with. Pressures from outside or pressures inside. We have a great strength with each other, believing in Jesus Christ, holding fast to him. And in him, we're strengthened with each other against the outside world. But when there's a weakness within, that's what I fear. That's what gets my attention. 2 Nephi chapter 13, verse 29 and 30. Wherefore, ye must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope and a love of God and of all men. Wherefore, if ye press forward, feasting upon the word of Christ, and endure to the end, behold, thus saith the Father, ye shall have eternal life. He doesn't just hold it out there. He guarantees it. He thought enough to send his son to take on flesh and blood. And my brother talked about the weight of that blood sacrifice, the pain he endured, the tears for you and I, for all that look to him in faith. This body you and I, standing, serving, proclaiming, confident in, and because of his unending grace and his name, reaching out to the only way, the truth, and the light, we celebrate milestones, transformations. You heard testimonies, prayers about how people had sought relief from God and he delivered, pulled them up and out and away, sheltered them, removed them, protected them. We talked about a collaboration amongst the members. We, the ministry, we need strong members. When I was in the service, either a platoon commander or the company I had in Vietnam, my strength was not mine. It depended upon those that I commanded. Not that I was gifted as a commander, but if I was strong, they developed strength. And that developing strength must be nurtured by the ministry to bring up members to take our place. It's an unending cycle, as it is in the Army. You need a strong army, a well-armed army that is aware. It's the same spiritually. God strengthens us. In our council report that was penned by our brother, he looked back over what has happened worldwide. It was short, brief, to the point. And it showed how lives had been transformed, changed. Not because we're special, but we look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Talked about new souls added to our numbers. When I was in Vietnam, the commanding general, I didn't think much of him. It was a numbers game with him, to please Congress, to please the president. And they were fudged. They weren't real numbers. They didn't reflect what the battle was about. We must be true with each other when we share what Christ means to us in the past, now, and in the future. Talked about families that are reconciled to the Lord. A strength that grows from that family unit. And the United States suffers from that, as do all the worlds that we go to, the nations. If they are not grounded in the faith, there's an inherent weakness within. We talked about spiritual growth coming from within the body, shepherding the flock, locals, missions. We talked about Zion's Advocate being published regular. We talked about our online web sources from the Church of Christ reaching out. Now, some of the media that we reach out with, beyond me, but I trust in the younger generation. Not saying they're smarter, but they've been schooled in it. They understand it. So we are to overcome challenges by the grace of God. I don't warrant salvation except for the grace of Jesus Christ, nor do you. So challenges are inevitable if we endure as a member, as a minister, yet they remind us daily of our dependence on God. And that is not a weakness. That is a strength. What does the Book of Mormon say about humbleness? He gives it to every man that he may know humility. And if you know humility, you approach Jesus Christ, God Himself, in the right vein. Ether 5, 27 and 28. And when I had said this, the Lord spake unto me, saying, Fools mock, but they shall mourn, and my grace is sufficient for the meek, that they shall take no advantage of your weakness. And if men come unto me, I will show unto them their weakness. I give men weakness, that they may be humble. And my grace is sufficient for all men that humble themselves before me. Not just men, but women too. We're all privy to the same weaknesses, temptations that are out there. And if we have faith in Jesus, then will I make these things become strong unto them. David in 2 Samuel, chapter 22, verse 3. The God of my rock, in him will I trust. Pardon my cold. In him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation and my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Thou shalt save me from violence. Expressed it a little bit different, the same man towards God in Psalms 18:2. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler. That personal shield that you bear with you, easy to bear, easy to carry, quick to fend off the enemy's onslaught, and the horn of my salvation. Out of that horn, his grace is enough to bring salvation to us. Thou savest me from violence, and you are on my high tower. And we have financial limitations. You have fought against that by praying for relief and finding ways to donate in tithing, in offerings, offering alms to those that stand in need. We come to a greater degree of understanding charity within the church. That's another pet peeve that I have with the government. They take care of too many opportunities for charity relief. The government gives it. I don't feel obligated. Let the government take care of the need. Why should I be concerned? They're on top of it. I elected them. So as we work on obstacles, we emerge stronger, more united, having worked together to clear, maintain, and to mark the path. And it's bounded by the Word of God, that path. And the more we tread it, the farther we walk it, we help to ensure that those that follow a pillar in the Church of Christ. We talked about pillars, those that we have lost in the Church of Christ. Somebody's got to take their place. So, in the Philippines, my brothers and sisters over there, They simply say, God is good all the time. And I really appreciate that. Because what they're saying is, God is good all the time, even when I see no hope or relief in sight or on the horizon. God is there for them. And they acknowledge that. So what they're saying is, great is his faithfulness. His mercies are new every morning. So looking back, we have to remember it's God's faithfulness that has brought us this far. His mercies have carried us through valleys and as we ascend mountaintops. Go to foreign lands, that's not easy. We have to meet their criteria, their rules. And they make them up on the spot sometimes. We've sought tax-free status.
Yes.
For over 7 years. And we get so close, we think it's going to be issued. And they come up with another rule. Well, you got to start over again. So, as we look back, let us have a spirit of gratitude towards God. Humility, renewed hope, as we prepare to serve Him in this coming year. Number two, a renewed commitment to the work of the gospel. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. I charge thee, therefore, before God, and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. So for the ministry, we're to preach and to be prepared to fulfill that responsibility or to teach at an expected event or unexpected, to be prepared. I'm not as good as some of you ministry. Some of you, I marvel at what you've got upstairs. I marvel how God has blessed you. We're to teach the word, whether it's convenient or a challenge, to encourage the weakened, invite and nourish all, not knowing who God may call or use. We need more ministry. We're running out of pillars and the in-betweeners. We need the youth of the church to look soberly to filling not our shoes, but the path that Christ walks. So for all, we're to remain steadfast. And it's not seasonal work. It's a lifelong commitment to faithfulness, our whole life through. We are to mirror the light of the Lord Jesus Christ to a darkened world. Many of you have experienced total darkness and what it's like. I was talking to my brother from down south, and he was in the Navy. And he said they were out at sea and they lost all power. And he said, I was afraid. Albert Leighton Floyd. The absence of light gets your attention. But we're blessed to know the light of Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I don't thank you, each of you, enough for the service you render, not just for me, but for all of us, but more importantly, towards God. I don't thank you enough. That's one of my shortcomings. We need to appreciate each other. 3 Nephi 7:10. Behold, I am the law and the light. Look unto me and endure to the end, and ye shall live. For unto him that endureth to the end will I give eternal life. The call is out of the world, but it comes with trials, discouragement, opposition, personal struggles. And I used to think retired life would be easy. I think I want to go back to a workaday world when I had the physical strength to do the work. It's not easy growing old. We've only got two more pages. So are you prepared to persevere? Not just today, but your whole life. How many of you remember the day you were baptized? Remember the waters? Could have been a pool, running water. Could have been a mud hole in the Philippines where the water buffalo are. I baptized 20 in the mud that was up over my knees. I could not move, and there were 7 water buffalo in there. I had people come to me, and I baptized them. I stayed in place. But that baptism is just as valid as yours. And coming out of that water, when hands were laid upon you, what did you feel? What experience did you treasure? I felt like I could do anything. And I stepped back into the world, and that sharp point that I thought I had, I let it become dull again for a while. It's up to us to keep it ready for service. Number 267, have you counted the cost? We had to pay that cost, but we look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Number 3, the last one. So the vision for the year ahead, does that include the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? Could be. Are you prepared to meet him? Have you fulfilled all he has asked you to do? That's a sobering question. Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Christ provides this life, and it may be an easy life for you. It may be a life that you have to fight and suffer in, but if you look forward to the life to come, that is the one that is guaranteed. God's guidance provides clarity, unity, and purpose. There is a life-giving power in the guidance of God for and through the membership and the ministry. If you step up, if you're ready to serve, if you shoulder the responsibility, man by the name of Hugo de Saint Victor, a theologian in 1141 AD, distinguished faith from hope. By faith alone, we are sure of eternal things that they are. By faith alone, we're assured of that. But by hope, we are confident that we shall have them. Confident that we shall have them. And he went on to say that all hope presupposes faith. They go hand in hand. You can't separate the two. So conference time is a melding, a collective vision for the Church of Christ, past, present, future, grounded in prayer, relying on God's direction, and aligning our goals with the mission of the gospel. Christ told his servants, Matthew 28:19-20, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the earth." We talked about the Church of Christ today, and it's no longer just the USA. It's where Christ has planted his seed by your sacrifice, your love, your hope, your prayers, your tithing. Philippians 1:6, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ." But we must have that vision that Proverbs 29:18 talks about, a vision towards the future, the coming of Christ, our preparation to meet him. Philippians 1:6, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." Now, I've got a confession to make. Did you recognize that sermon?
Kind of.
The reason he kind of recognizes, our elder Degreen Obata worked with another minister, another church, came up with a working outline so that they could teach their people as they move forward. It's not his alone. I tweaked it a great deal. But I give my brother the credit. He's the chairman of the priesthood over there. He's a powerhouse. When he was younger, before he was converted to the Church of Christ, he was a debt collector because of his physical size. This guy is big. He's not very tall, but he's about that wide, and he's about that thick in the chest. And I suppose he was pretty good at his work. I don't know if he followed through or not, but he could be imposing. Now he's imposing, not with physical strength, but with the Lord Jesus Christ and the tools that you have provided him with. And they do a marvelous work over there. They have love of Christ, love of you, And if Lolita's watching, she may be. There's about a 14-hour difference in time, though. I have no idea. But they pray for you all the time. They want to meet you. They'd like to come to the United States, but they'd like to meet you. But someday, in the presence of Christ, we'll know everyone. And I look forward to that. I thank you for paying attention. You surprise me with how well you, not behave, but you haven't frowned yet, and I appreciate that. Now, tonight, I hope to go to bed and sleep sound and kick this, whatever it is, that's fastened itself upon me. Pat's got it. We gladly shared it with Chris Mosier, so she's got it. Jay's too tough or ornery, I don't know. But I thank you very much.